Welcome to another edition of El Paso Primetime. I'm Dennis Wu, and sitting here in studio with Mallory Jacobson, we're going to talk about NAMI of El Paso. First off, Mallory, welcome to El Paso Primetime.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
NAMI of El Paso, the National Alliance for Mental Illness, a very strong organization in the country, something that folks that have a mental challenge should get in touch with just simply because you advocate on their behalf.
Definitely. Yes. If anyone has a mental illness, think that they may have a mental illness, if you have a family member who has a mental illness, that's who we're here for. We're here for anyone who has any form of connection. If you're a caregiver, you could be a doctor, we're here for you. That's who we support.
There's a stigma. There's always been a stigma, and unfortunately, media has done that over the years. Hollywood has done that over the years about mental illness. People are afraid to talk about it, but it is a real thing, and it affects, if I remember the stats the last time, I think it affects 1 in 5 Americans.
It's actually 1 in 4.
1 in 4?
1 in 4 adults, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's some serious business, and yet people are so reluctant to talk about it. I don't understand.
Yeah, everyone knows someone who has a mental illness or who may develop a mental illness. So I don't think anyone should be afraid of it or scared of it. And the media definitely doesn't always put a great light on mental illness. I think a great movie that came out this year, Silver Linings Playbook, I'm sure a lot of your listeners have heard about it or seen it, that sheds a pretty good light on mental illness. I would say that they accurately portrayed a family who is trying to deal with a mental illness. However, they overcame it with love, which is not really true to how you can overcome a mental illness. Mm-hmm. But I think definitely the community and the media are getting better about talking about mental illness, but it's still not always great.
One of the harder things to cope with is when a family member is afflicted with some form of mental illness, whether it's depression, whether it's schizophrenia, could be acute paranoia. There are a number of things that can go wrong. And basically, the misunderstanding is that it's a social thing when actually it's a physical problem that starts with the brain.
Yeah, it's not something that anyone chose to have. They didn't say, socially, I don't feel comfortable, so I am going to have anxiety about it. No, it's something in their brain that isn't average, that's not working the way that someone else's brain is, so they develop schizophrenia or some other illness that affects their social abilities, but it is not a social problem. It is a brain problem.
Anxiety attacks are one of just a myriad of problems that can afflict a person at any given point in time. When you advocate for someone who is afflicted with any kind of a mental illness, what are the steps that need to be done in order to take care of that person?
That's a great question, and I think that's a question that many people don't know the answer to. Step number one would be if I or you were the individual who thought that maybe they had a mental illness, it's just to seek help. Go to your doctor. Your doctor can just have you do a simple survey, and they can figure out if maybe you do have depression, maybe you do have thoughts of suicide, maybe you are hearing voices, things like that. And I think normally just your primary caregiver, they can recommend you to a psychologist or psychiatrist, and they can help you. Some people just have a hard time even going to the doctor. So just telling a loved one, doesn't have to be your mom, doesn't have to be your dad. It can be the neighbor, and I'm sure they could help you. And as always, you can call NAMI, and we can give you other information, who to call. We can sometimes contact people for you, and we can just ease you into letting people know that you may have a problem and that you are seeking help, because seeking help is the best. That's what everyone needs to do, because that's how they can get better and learn to cope with their mental illness.
Let's go ahead and give the phone number now. We'll do it at the end of the show and probably throughout the entire show. But how do we get in touch with the El Paso chapter of NAMI?
It's 915-534-5478. And you can find us on Facebook, too. All our information is on there. And we do have a website. So you can find us, Google us, you'll find us.
One of the things that NAMI does not only is the advocacy for mental illness, but you also have fundraisers and raise events to raise awareness about mental illness.
Yes, this coming October 5th, we're having NAMI Walks, which is going to be the third annual NAMI Walks here in El Paso. It's actually a national program. There's over 80 of these across the country this year, and we are blessed to have one. What it is basically a walk like you would have for breast cancer, a walk like you would have for any kind of illness or any kind of support that you're trying to raise money for. That's what NAMI Walks is, and it's going to be at Memorial Park, October 5th. Registration will start at 9. The walk will start at 10. Anyone is welcome to come. If this is the first time you are hearing about mental illness, that is fine. You should still come to the walk. We'll have free food, music, dancing, and then we'll, of course, walk around Memorial Park. And we're, of course, trying to raise funds for our organizations so that we can support more people. If one in four adults is affected, we're not talking to everyone in El Paso who has mental illness. So we would just love for them to hear about us.
To realize that in a city of 800,000, one in four is afflicted. So do the math, and all of a sudden it's quite apparent that 200,000 people in El Paso have some kind of an affliction.
Definitely.
That needs to be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a family member who's having to cope with it and don't want to recognize it, perhaps you need to phone NAMI and get some help.
Right. And it's nothing to be scared of. You know, we get tons of phone calls every day. No judgment. We understand. We've been there. We've had a call before. We know what it's like. Sometimes it's really hard to admit that there is a problem in your family or, you know, in your group of friends. And it's really okay. You're not alone. That's our motto. You are not alone, because there's one in four people who mm-hmm. are affected. And there's other people who just care.
Right.
There are people to help.
When people start, and I realize that you're not a physician, you're not a doctor, so from an advocate standpoint, if mm-hmm. someone asks you what schizophrenia is all about, what paranoia is all about, what depression is all about, what kind of real answers can you give that person so that they can move forward and find the help through their primary healthcare physician?
Yeah, that's a great question as well, because many times you look at someone who has a mental illness or you look at yourself, and how do you know that you have one? You didn't lose a limb. You don't have a growth on your arm or something like that. You don't actually – there's nothing visual. I think when someone has a mental illness, especially like depression, you start to feel sadness that's not controllable. And it would be maybe not on a daily basis, maybe every other day. Maybe you have less interest in doing things with schizophrenia. Maybe you're hearing voices that you've never heard before. It's not just, you know, you talking to yourself. It's someone else talking to you in your head. That does happen to people. Mm-hmm. That would be schizophrenia. I think lots of times family members will notice it. For instance, maybe, you know, they are starting to think someone is bipolar in their family because they bring them to the mall and they're fine, and then 1 second later they're just panicking, they're a different person, they're not acting the same. So it's just really the changes in your moods and not being able to control those.
In talking about bipolar situations, bipolar is a recent label, if for lack of a better term, mm-hmm. for what used to be known as I guess for, again, lack of a better term, schizophrenia. The two are different.
Oh, yes. And the thing is that there's different levels of every diagnosis, and there's different types of bipolar, there's different types of schizophrenia, and they're all going to be treated differently. So that's why it's really important to seek help from your doctor, because they know. They know if you need medication, they know if you need therapy, they know if you need, you know, some one-on-one counseling. That's where it's helpful, because they are all different. And a lot of times there's co-occurring disorders. So you could have depression and you could have schizophrenia, and they could be happening together. You could have an addiction and develop schizophrenia or depression because of your addiction. So I think many times people don't realize that it's a whole envelope of problems. And sometimes you don't get one, sometimes you get two. And your doctor can definitely help with that and figure out what the best way to cope with those are.
The first thing to do is to conquer fear of the unknown, and the unknown has always been about mental illness. Mm-hmm. I can think of stories about Edgar Allan Poe, for instance, who was painted as a manic, depressive, paranoid schizophrenic by one man who just didn't like the way that Poe had written about, as a critic of a collection of short stories. And this man went out and pretty much hammered Poe to the point where after Poe had died, I mean, everyone believed that Poe was this, that, and the other, and it turned out not to be the same.
Exactly. You need to do your own research. You need to know what you want when you go to a doctor. You need to know that maybe you have to get a second opinion, that just because someone says you have schizophrenia, if you don't believe you have schizophrenia, you can look into it more. By no means is every doctor, going to diagnose you correctly on the first time. And I think many times when someone does something bad or not normal, or for instance, commits a crime, I think sometimes we jump to the conclusion that they may have a mental illness. And that's completely not fair to anyone who has a mental illness, mm-hmm. to assume that they are going to hurt another person or that they are going to not be a great member of society just because they have a mental illness. That's not it at all. It does happen, but it's very slim that someone would be, not a great member of society because they have a mental illness.
Part of the education now I look at it from this standpoint. Part of the education has to go into the media so that the media understands what mental illness is truly all about, so that when something comes up, when an incident occurs, when something goes to trial as a criminal or civil case, the label that may be used as a defensive strategy of mental illness isn't necessarily the case. It requires the media to actually look deeper into this whole thing.
Yeah, it becomes a medical problem. It doesn't become a problem what everyone else in the courtroom thinks is going on. It becomes that person's medical history. It's not always about what we all see. It's about what that person is feeling. And maybe they haven't come to terms, or maybe they aren't aware of what they're feeling, but every feeling is valid. And it comes down to like your medical makeup. Is that person's brain having a mental disorder?
Okay. That makes sense too. Mallory Jacobson is our guest on El Paso Primetime from NAMI of El Paso. And if you have questions and concerns, stay with us because we'll give you phone numbers and websites and Facebook pages so that you can get in touch with everything. But as we talk about mental illness, Mallory, some people, rather than to go see a doctor, mm-hmm. rather than to talk to a family friend, will start relying on the internet. Okay.
Yes.
You know where this is going.
I do.
The internet is so much of a disaster.
Not everything you read on the internet is true. There's mm-hmm. no law that says that you can what you post is true. Do not rely on the internet for all of your information. You can definitely rely on it to find a NAMI. You can rely on it to find a doctor, to maybe double check on where your medication is coming from, what's in it. I think the internet can be a good tool. I think it's misused. I think it's also misused for communication, as many kids, adolescents, adults are on Facebook or Twitter, any of those sites. I think it's really easy to bully. I think it's really easy to blame and judge and not be a good human being because you're not looking at that person. So maybe someone posts something that they've cried a lot today, they're having a really rough day, and all of a sudden everyone sees them as a weak person, and that's not accurate. They're having feelings that are valid, and there may be a mental illness, there may not be a mental illness, but I think we just need to be cautious about what we're reading. We need to be cautious about what we're hearing. And we have to also know that when someone says anything, that could be a cry out for help. That might not just be them being dramatic. That may be how they're seeking help, how they're trying to find the strength to tell their family that there's something wrong.
How do you teach a parent to recognize the signs of an adolescent problem, that might lead to any form of mental illness?
I think definitely it's going to be if your child has interest in doing things and then they lose interest in doing those things. So maybe they were a good student or an average student, and all of a sudden they're not doing their homework. They're not telling you about their day. That's a sign that something is wrong. Or maybe you think that they may be using and abusing drugs. Marijuana is known to aggravate a mental illness. So those who use marijuana are more likely to have their schizophrenia develop, even though originally it might have just been okay and they could have coped with it without even knowing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, drugs can bring that up.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm thinking about all of the studies I've seen over the years about the active ingredient, THC. It's an incredibly long name that I can't remember what it is. But I remember that THC back in the 70s was targeted as something that would trigger anxiety attacks, depression, and create a schizophrenia beyond anything back in the day that psychiatrists couldn't work with. Of course, you know, later on in life, now that it now is almost treatable, but still the use of marijuana seems to be one of those things where you have two camps. Oh, it's not going to kill you. It's going to be this. You get mellow. Then you have the other side of the camp that says, yeah, but if you have the precursors to mm-hmm. this sort of a thing, you may not want to play in that playground.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Especially if you have are seeing a doctor and they are treating you with prescription medication for mental illness, even maybe if it's not for mental illness, maybe it's for something else. Drugs and alcohol are going to reverse the effects of that medication. And when a mentally ill person is trying to become stable, and maybe they have sought that through medication, they need to focus on the medication. They can't put anything else into their body that may cause the medication to react differently. That's not going to be helpful to recovery at all. So I think not self-medicating is going to be the key thing for those people. I know I'm sure it's very hard, but if you decide to go the medication route for your mental illness, it's very important to stick to it. Do it daily. Take it when you're supposed to. Get your refills when you're supposed to, and if the bottle says don't drink alcohol, don't drink alcohol. You know, obviously you should not be doing drugs in the first place, because that's not good for your body, but it's definitely not good for your brain if you have a mental illness as well.
When somebody considers a person to be mentally stable and whatnot, I mean, that seems to be a blanket statement, so to speak. So if, for instance, someone is diagnosed with ADD, ADHD, OCD, those are not necessarily mental illnesses, or are they?
You know, I don't think there's anything that's going to define a mental illness. I don't think that we can say, no, you don't fall into our category. I've had plenty of parents call me and say, you know, my child, I think he has ADD or ADHD. I'm just not really sure. Yeah, you should totally come to our support groups, because there's going to be someone at our support group that's another parent that can totally help you out, maybe set you in the right direction. Maybe they'll tell you, no, you know what, I think maybe you should try this or that. But a lot of times NAMI can help. We do have plenty of brochures at our office on OCD and ADD and ADHD. Whether a doctor considers them a mental illness or not, we do. We consider them someone that we would help.
Again, that phone number is vitally important in order for a parent who just heard that to say, maybe I need to find some information.
Yes, it's 915-534-5478. And we are just there to help. Our office is run by volunteers and two staff members. So if someone doesn't answer, someone will call you right back, because that's what we're here for, is to help, because we know how it feels to feel alone or, you know, stranded in the midst of mental illness.
If someone wants to volunteer for helping you in the office or whatnot, same number?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You can call our office. And again, with our walk, NAMI walks that we were talking about before, on October 5th, we'll need volunteers to come and help set up for the walk. And of course, we're looking for walkers and team captains. So anyone who's interested in getting involved in what we do, I think some people maybe think that it's like a depressing field to get into. But honestly, our organization is so much fun. There's great people that we work with, great volunteers. Our office is located in the El Paso Psych Center, which is on Alameda. And if you walk in the Psych Center, you'll see all our signs and where to go, where it's fun. I love working for NAMI.
I think one of the things to break through in order to understand mental illness is to break through that whole thing, that stigma about mental illness. And you have programs that do outreach into the community.
Yes, we do. We offer a number of programs, and everything NAMI offers is free. We're a nonprofit organization. We take donations and grants we apply for, and we put that money directly back into the El Paso community. Every Monday night, we offer a support group at UBH, which is University Behavioral Health, and that's at 1900 Denver. They're from 7 to 9 Monday nights. There's one support group that's for family members, and then in a separate room, there's a support group for the peer, the individual who has mental illness or who thinks they may have a mental illness. So there's confidentiality. You know, you don't have to sit and talk about your problems in front of your loved ones, and it's free. You don't have to sign up. You don't have to call us unless you want to call us and let us know you're coming. There's always people there. There's great turnout. And every Monday night, 7 to 9, we're always there offering our support. And then we also offer a class called Family to Family. And we normally run it on Saturdays, but it's a 12-week course that you would call the office and sign up for. And it's mainly for parents or caregivers who don't know about mental illness, who maybe, you know, they went to, took their child or, you know, their grown child to the doctor and they found out that, you know, they have schizophrenia. And what do I do? You go to this class and you get a wealth of NAMI information. And it's a ton of research that NAMI has done. It's research that other doctors have done. And it's what medication does what and how do I cope? How do I talk to someone with a mental illness? What if that person doesn't believe that they have a mental illness? What should I do? And it's extremely helpful. And again, all free. We do also do different community programs where we have special speakers come in and we invite the public. So just always be checking out our website or our Facebook page so you can find out about all our events that are free. We normally have free food as well. It's good because we educate the people and we have fun trying to break the stigma of mental illness.
And you can also check our website at ktep.org under the calendar section because oftentimes NAMI will send us information on those events. So if you don't go to the NAMI site, come to our website. We partner so well, and that's what this is all about, is helping you, the listener, cope with a problem that might be cropping up in your family. It's no longer a problem, only an issue if you contact NAMI and make sure that everything's taken care of.
Yes, definitely. We are here. We're available. We're free. We're confidential. We will help. If we don't know the answer to a question you may have, we'll find the answer. And of course, at our offices, we have tons of brochures, booklets, books, videos that you can take that could help you if maybe you're not ready to go to a support group or to go to an education class to learn about it. We also do have some Spanish speakers, and we do offer some of our support and classes in Spanish for those as well.
Listeners in the outside area need to write the number down, 915-534-5478, because it is vitally important. It's mental illness strikes one in four, and mental illness isn't it's not discriminatory. It will hit somebody at some time over something.
Yes, it's not. Don't think that, oh, it's not going to happen to me. Well, it could happen to someone you know. It doesn't matter what race you are. It doesn't matter what age you are. Most often, mental illnesses do come up when someone is in their 20s. But is that to say that a 10-year-old or a 40-year-old won't develop a mental illness? Definitely not. It doesn't discriminate. Mental illness can happen to anyone. And oftentimes I look at my family and I think, well, one in four, well, how come it's hit all of us, you know?
Yeah.
But you learn. You learn how to cope. You learn how to band together, how to find support. And it's honestly something to rejoice over when you recover and you see what you've gone through and you're a better human being for it.
It's the understanding that a person afflicted with mental illness looks for. Not too long ago, we had a discussion about NAMI, and at that time is when I told you guys that, you know, I have chronic depression. And being diagnosed with that several years ago in Tucson, you know, number one, I was floored by it. And then number two, I felt rather relieved that at least now I know why I wasn't enjoying the things I wasn't enjoying before. It got to a point at some point where I didn't like sitting down and watching a football game. You know, I love NFL. And I couldn't do it. couldn't figure it out for the life of me why I was doing it, and so I had to ask. And when you're by yourself in a large town like Tucson, you got to find somebody.
Right. Sometimes it just feels like you're lost in the crowd. And you're like, am I the only one noticing that I'm not interested in this? You know, maybe I'm just having a bad day, a bad month. Well, that doesn't constitute a bad life. So seeking help will allow you to get back into your swing of things, whether it's medication or therapy or, you know, just telling yourself positive thoughts. It's just that you're not alone, you know, and I'm glad you did seek help. And I'm glad that you are open and sharing it with the audience because it's important. I, too, have a mental illness. I have depression and anxiety, and I've been battling it for years, years. But then I'm able to go back, and now I'm trying to help other people because I see what NAMI can do for people. I see how NAMI can help families. So I know firsthand as well that NAMI is important. Breaking the stigma is important, and helping others is the key.
Again, let me point out 1 in 4 have some form of a mental illness. And some families may be very blessed.
Yes.
Some families are blessed to have as many people in the family to have a mental illness, but everybody understands one another's affliction and takes care of family. You know, there's a different kind of blessing.
Yes. And in some families, I am sure there's listeners right now who are thinking, well, I wish, you know, my parents or grandparents understood what I'm going through. And you know what? It's hard. And I think the best thing you can do is tell your family members about us because we will help teach them. We will help teach them that it's okay. It's not your problem. It's nothing to hide. I'm not asking anyone to shout it from the rooftops, but yeah, we're here definitely because oftentimes it's the family member who ends up creating more of a problem
right.
because they're not willing to accept it or they're not willing to talk about it. So I definitely think NAMI can help with that.
I know NAMI can help with this. The first thing is to pick up a phone, call 915-534-5478 on the web.
It's NAMI.org, and then you can click on your state. I'm sure we probably have listeners who aren't in El Paso, there's tons of affiliates all over the nation. So you would go to NAMI.org and you would find your affiliate and that would take you to their webpage so you can find out the information. And then on Facebook, it's NAMI El Paso. So you can find us. We're there. You can't avoid us.
There you go. And then NAMI Walk is coming up on October 5th.
Yes, October 5th, Memorial Park. It'll start at 9 a.m. We're really excited about it. It's a completely free event, free registration. You don't have to fundraise unless you really want to. We have free food, free music, free fun. It's going to be a good family event. And if you are interested in mental illness, either with your education or you have a family member or you yourself have a mental illness, I think the walk would be a great place to start and to join us in fighting the stigma.
Mallory Jacobson's been our guest on El Paso Primetime. Mallory, as always, mi casa su casa. Come on by. We'd love to talk more about what NAMI offers to everyone.
Right. Not just the El Paso community. We'll offer it to everyone. And thank you so much for having us. We're excited that you are helping us break the stigma.
You're quite welcome. Thank you so much for being here. And thank you for listening to El Paso Primetime. I'll be happy.